A Florida state representative, financially backed by a scandal-ridden private prison company, introduced an Orwellian surveillance bill being pushed by a scandal-ridden Israeli-based digital intelligence company. What could possibly go wrong? In this video, I'm going to answer that question, show you the receipts, and suggest some things that you can do about it. I am Dr. John Padfield, an engineer turned Indiana state representative turned business professor. Danny Alvarez is a second-term Republican state representative from Florida's 69th District, which includes the cities of Brandon and Bloomingdale. Campaign finance records show he has received thousands of dollars in donations from the GEO Group. For those of you not familiar with the GEO Group, they are a for-profit private prison company started in 1984 that went public in 1994. This company achieved record profits while the U.S. prison population was increasing at an average rate of 17% per year for 20 consecutive years. In 2015, the Washington Post ran a story on how for-profit prisons became the biggest lobbying group no one is talking about. Quote, "Several industries have become notorious for the millions they spend on influencing legislation and getting friendly candidates into office, big oil, big pharma, and the gun lobby among them. But one has managed to quickly build influence with comparatively little scrutiny, private prisons." GEO, now known as the GEO Group, was already one of the two largest private prisons in the United States as of 2015, and as an industry, private prisons had already spent $10 million in political donations and $25 million on lobbying as of the end of 2014. What type of laws were private prisons lobbying for? Public safety, of course. Several reputable studies, linked in the description, have documented how the GEO Group and other private prisons bankrolled organizations like the American Legislative Exchange Council, who were pushing for longer prison sentences and three strikes laws. These types of laws are at least partially responsible for the United States having an incarceration rate nearly six times higher than our allies, including the Five Eyes nations of the United Kingdom, Australia, and Canada. I am a business professor and I believe in capitalism, but I do not like the business model of private prisons because their financial incentives make them a petri dish for corruption. For example, in 2009, two Pennsylvania judges were convicted in what became known as the Kids for Cash program. These judges were convicted of taking $2.6 million in kickbacks for sentencing children as young as 8 years old to two for-profit juvenile detention centers. Children, most of whom were first offenders, were given 1 to 2 minute hearings without a lawyer before being sentenced to years in juvenile detention for minor offenses. In the aftermath of this scandal, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court overturned over 4,000 juvenile convictions. In case you're wondering what happened to the judges, both of them received lengthy prison sentences, but one of them had his sentence commuted in the final days of the Biden administration. Why did I call Representative Alvarez's donor, the GEO Group, a scandal-ridden private prison company? In the past 14 months, they have lost court cases in both the 9th District Court of Appeals and the United States Supreme Court related to unjust enrichment from a forced labor program they created that paid detainees $1 per day. Last year, the GEO Group got in trouble with the National Labor Relations Board after retaliating against detained immigrants by putting them in solitary confinement for signing a petition about working conditions. The GEO Group has also been sued for using toxic cleaning chemicals and for inhumane conditions at an ICE processing center. Before anyone dismisses these lawsuits as politically motivated propaganda, let's examine what an official Department of Justice investigation into one of the GEO Group's facilities found in 2012. According to the DOJ investigation, the GEO Group's youth correctional facility in Mississippi had systemic, egregious, and dangerous practices exacerbated by a lack of accountability and controls, including, quote, deliberate indifference to staff sexual misconduct and inappropriate behavior with youth, excessive use of force by staff on youth, and the deliberate indifference to the medical needs of youth. As I said earlier, the financial incentives of a private prison makes them a petri dish for corruption. Simply put, private prisons make more money when more people are incarcerated in private prisons. According to the latest Department of Justice figures, over 13% of prisoners in Florida are held in private prisons, which is nearly double the national average. Now let's turn our attention to the bill Representative Alvarez introduced in the Florida House less than 3 weeks after receiving his second campaign donation from the GEO Group. Florida House Bill 945 was filed on December 30, 2025, and as of the first week of March 2026, it has already been passed by three House committees or subcommittees. Of all the representatives who have voted on this bill in committee, 48 have voted for it and only 9 have voted against it. That means nearly half the House has already voted on this bill in committee and 84% of that half voted to pass it. What exactly does this bill do? First, it establishes a dedicated counterintelligence and counter T-word unit. I really don't like having to talk in code, but the YouTube algorithm does not like certain words, and the word that rhymes with "they're a risk" is one of them, so I'm going to be saying the T-word a lot in this video. The mission of the Counter T-Word Unit, which I will simply refer to as the CTU from now on, is to, quote, detect, identify, neutralize, and exploit adversary intelligence entities and international and domestic T-words to protect the state of Florida and the United States of America. Who could possibly oppose such a wholesome, noble, and patriotic-sounding piece of legislation? It's like eating apple pie on an American flag tablecloth. And Florida definitely needs its own CTU for detecting, identifying, and neutralizing international and domestic T-words, because there aren't any federal agencies responsible for doing that, other than the Department of Homeland Security and the National Security Agency, and the Central Intelligence Agency, and I almost forgot the FBI's Counterintelligence Division, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence has its own National Counter T-Word Center, and the Department of Justice National Security Division has its own Counter T-Word Section, and the U.S. Department of Treasury has its own T-Word and Financial Intelligence Section. But other than those and about 30 other lesser-known federal offices, agencies, divisions, bureaus, and task force, nobody is trying to detect, identify, and neutralize international and domestic T-words. If Los Angeles can have its own CTU, so can Tallahassee. But getting back to House Bill 945, I at least have some idea what international and domestic T-words are. While their exact definition seems to depend on which party controls the White House, I have heard those terms used often enough to know they generally describe people who carry out, or at least plan, politically motivated acts of violence. But what is an adversary intelligence entity? It sounds like an organization Boris and Natasha might have worked for when they weren't chasing the moose and the flying squirrel. Or maybe the chaos organization Maxwell Smart and Agent 99 were always investigating. Thankfully, we don't have to guess what an adversary intelligence entity is because House Bill 945 defines it for us. Sort of. Quote, "The term adversary intelligence entity includes, but is not limited to, any government, non-governmental organization, company, business, corporation, etc., or person whose demonstrated actions, views, or opinions are a threat or are inimical to the interest of the state." The word inimical simply means harmful. Let me emphasize that last point. Under House Bill 945, a person who holds views or opinions deemed a threat or harmful to the interest of the state will be labeled as an adversary intelligence entity, or in the more common vernacular, an enemy of the state. Remember, if you aren't thinking anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. Enemies of the state sounds like a list you probably don't want to be on. So what exactly are the interests of the state so you can get your mind right and not hold the wrong views or opinions? Unfortunately, the bill doesn't list the interests of the state, and I suspect that is because they are poorly defined, controversial, and subject to change without notice. Just don't hold any views or opinions that are harmful to those interests and you'll be fine. You may be wondering how the state would even know if you held views or opinions that are deemed a threat to the state, and House Bill 945 does answer that question. The CTU shall identify threats by analyzing patterns of life. What does that mean? Pattern of life data is all the data already being collected on you by data brokers, big tech, and license plate reader companies. It includes data about where you go, what you watch or read, what you buy, what you post online, who you call or text, who you meet in person, what hobbies and interests you have, and what values and beliefs you hold. I recently made a video called Surveillance Bingo that I will link at the end of this video. It describes over a dozen different types of surveillance technology, from public bathroom microphones disguised as smoke detectors that listen for keywords, to smart streetlights with microphones and cameras built into them, to facial recognition video doorbells, to signal trace that ties your phone, laptop, smartwatch, and Bluetooth headphones to your vehicle license plate so you can be detected if you ride in somebody else's vehicle. If you want to learn how to start reclaiming your digital and financial privacy, I encourage you to visit escapethetechnocracy.com/reform to see a selection of great courses, books, newsletter, and consulting services to help you on your privacy journey. I met the co-founders of this organization when I was speaking at a privacy conference in Mexico City last month. We had two long and enjoyable conversations where we discussed different aspects of and approaches to privacy. I have turned down numerous sponsorships and affiliate programs in the past, but I know the people behind Escape the Technocracy, and I believe in them and their products. Use my affiliate link to save 10% off anything you purchase, and you will not only get great products, but you will help support this channel. What else will Florida's CTU do if House Bill 945 becomes law? Quote, "The unit shall identify threats by analyzing patterns of life, gathering actionable intelligence, and formulating effective plans of action, and by executing arrest, or by revealing its intent to compel a response using all counterintelligence and counter-T-word tradecraft necessary to protect the state from people who hold views or opinions deemed harmful to the state." Using all counter-T-word tradecraft. In the case of Jack Bauer's CTU, that tradecraft frequently involved the use of enhanced interrogation techniques, such as deprivation tactics, coercion, intimidation, and physical violence against suspects. Thankfully, Jack Bauer's CTU was just a fictional TV show, and no one involved in Florida law enforcement would ever use excessive force. If Florida law enforcement officers ever used excessive force or misused the warrantless mass surveillance networks they have been given access to, I am sure the legislature in the free state of Florida would immediately introduce legislation to crack down on law enforcement misconduct. Why was this legislation to literally create the Florida Thought Police introduced in the first place? A March 3rd article in the Florida Trib described the bill as a, quote, "constitutional train wreck," and I agree with that assessment. I believe Florida House Bill 945 is an attempt to expand on an executive order signed by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in December 2025. In that order, Governor DeSantis designated the Council on American-Islamic Relations as a, quote, "foreign T-word organization," and he alleges it has ties to Hamas. The Council on American-Islamic Relations denies it has any ties to Hamas, and the U.S. government has not designated them as a foreign T-word organization. I want to make something perfectly clear. This video is not intended as pro or anti-Muslim any more than it is intended as pro or anti-Israel. I just have a serious constitutional problem with any state governor designating any group as a T-word organization. That term can carry lethal repercussions, and I don't want 50 different people deciding what organizations belong on that list. Neither do I want state-level paramilitary agencies authorized to conduct, quote, "direct action missions," going after people who have been labeled an enemy of the state for their views and opinions. It turns out I am not the only one who sees a constitutional problem with governors designating groups as T-word organizations. U.S. District Judge Mark Walker cited the First Amendment in his preliminary injunction preventing Governor DeSantis's executive order from taking effect while the lawsuit filed by the Council on American-Islamic Relations moves forward. We have looked at the private prison company that is financially supporting the author of House Bill 945, and we have looked at what the bill does. Let's quickly wrap up this video by looking at the company that is lobbying to get this bill turned into law. According to the Florida Lobbyist Disclosure and Information Database, there are 6 registered lobbyists for House Bill 945. Common Cause Florida, Florida Rising, and the Florida State Conference of the NAACP branches are all opposed to House Bill 945, but a company called Cellebrite is registered to support it. Who is Cellebrite? They are a publicly traded Israeli-based digital intelligence company who makes spyware and forensic extraction tools that have been used by authoritarian regimes to hack electronic devices of journalists, human rights activists, and environmental activists. There is also substantial evidence Cellebrite tools were used by Kenyan authorities to search the phone of a pro-democracy activist who plans to run for president in 2027. According to an August 2023 article in TechCrunch, Cellebrite asked cops not to divulge the use of their products to the courts when they are asked how they extracted data from a suspect's phone. I guess Cellebrite is concerned about their company's privacy, and you wouldn't want a judge or jury to find out where secret evidence came from. You certainly don't want to confuse a jury with trivial details about chain of custody of key evidence. Just trust me, bro. Cellebrite has been awarded $16.8 million in contracts from the United States government, and over $2.5 million from the state of California, and over $770,000 from Miami-Dade County in Florida. In other words, Cellebrite is making tens of millions of dollars from American taxpayers while simultaneously trying to keep the use of their technology secret. To make sure the money keeps flowing, Cellebrite spends approximately $500,000 per year lobbying Congress, and that doesn't include what they spend lobbying in state legislatures across the country. With nearly half of the Florida House having already voted on this bill in committee, and 84% of them voting for it, this bill is poised to be approved by the House within the next couple of weeks. Please subscribe to stay updated on this legislation. If you don't live in Florida, their legislature isn't going to listen to you, but they may listen to people that you know who live there. So please share this video, especially with anyone you know who lives in Florida. And wherever you live, contact your state senator and state representative and politely inform them that you don't want this type of constitutional train wreck passed in your state. Your state legislators are probably already hearing from private prisons and Cellebrite, so they need to hear from you too. I also encourage you to check out my surveillance bingo video and escapethetechnocracy.com/reform if you want detailed, actionable steps about how to start reclaiming your privacy. I am holding free live events in Auburn, Alabama, Fayetteville, Georgia, Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Knoxville, Tennessee, the week of March 16th. Visit brushfirestour.com for details. If you enjoyed this video, I invite you to join me for my live stream on the first and third Monday of each month. Are you following any legislation that has been introduced in your state that I should be aware of and/or make a video about? Do you feel like Florida House Bill 945 could be used to label you as an enemy of the state? I can't wait to read your comments.